So I understand y'all were in Atlanta. Jason told me, so y'all were all in Atlanta together, but he said y'all never saw each other.
No, we kept circling around each other like the same, 'cause we were in the same like area of town. Like we were, I think he was in Midtown somewhere. So we were all close to like the same things, and we just kept like circling around each other because like he get up a little earlier than we do, I guess, but also like he had a very tight schedule.
Oh.
Like he had to be like a speaking engagement, like a seminar and crap like that. Like me and Tori was just free to take our time and just kind of wander about ATL, you know what I mean? So
That's cool. I gotta make another trip
yeah,
to
man.
Atlanta. I haven't been to Atlanta in over a decade. I mean, I was at the airport, but I don't count that. I haven't just
Yeah, no. Like you gotta get out and do stuff
Right, so it's been over a decade.
for it to count. Yeah.
It's funny, when Jason came to California last, we were down the street from each other and we didn't see each other. And that was a few months
Yeah.
ago. It was like
Yeah.
he was
It
at,
be like that,
yeah,
man.
he was
Like
at
you.
Disneyland and I was at Roscoe Chicken and Waffles, which was down the street from Disneyland. And we
Man,
did,
Roscoe is right down from
yeah,
Disneyland?
there's a couple of Roscoe, yeah, there's a couple of them. And one, I went to the one right down the street from Disneyland because I was in the
Damn.
area.
Okay.
I even took a picture of the they had like the Guardians of the Galaxy ride. You can see it from the street. And I took a
You can
picture.
see it from Roscoe?
Yeah, it's real big. Man, I've been on that ride several times and it's crazy. Cause I know you wouldn't like
No.
it.
No.
But
I've seen, you know, like footage of it, but
yeah,
I would never go
they'll
up there.
throw you all the way up in the air and you'll see the top of the building. You'll see all of Anaheim. And so that's
Yeah.
how big it is. And yeah, it's crazy. It's heart-wrenching.
Yeah, fuck that. Hate it. Hated it.
Don't blame you. So
So what?
we talking about this time. We are talking about Tyler Perry's Mea Culpa. Me and Jason already talked about it, but yeah,
Yeah,
me and Mark gotta talk about it.
I heard.
We gotta talk about it though. We were supposed to all talk
Yeah,
about it,
y'all
but
talked about it. Yeah, man, we was tired, and I think y'all, what y'all recorded with like Monday,
I
something
think
like
so.
that.
Yeah, that was the only day Jason was free.
Yeah, we was beat,
I don't blame you.
but you know, Jason's young and spry.
Barely. Being your late 30s is not young and spry.
You know, Jason do jump rope.
That's
You know
true.
what
I jump rope sometimes too. But introduce ourselves real quick. I am Josh, aka Prop Josh, and joined by Marcus, aka 730.
What is up?
Together we be.
I mean, seriously, like, what's up with this movie? What's up with TP, man?
Oh man, I mean, we disclaimer, we love Tyler Perry.
Yeah,
I
we are the audience for this movie.
believe so.
Tyler Perry knows that he has two audiences. It's the audience that's like, you know, they watching it and they like, yo, you know, that they're like
They take it
really
seriously.
gripped. They're gripped into it, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The grip got him.
Right.
And then he has a whole different audience, which is like us, who watch it for sheer entertainment. But like, you know, his serious movies are his
They
best
really
comedy.
are. They really are.
His serious movies are his absolute best comedy. and I'm always here for it.
Yes.
I'm gonna tune in just about every time. I can't make it through all the series.
Oh yeah, I don't watch the TV shows.
I did
shows.
One series.
Yeah,
I did one series.
Yeah.
But that was during COVID time, so.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't think I've sat through any of the
put
shows.
That on the coat.
So, so top three Tyler Perry movies. We had top three. Not counting this one right now. Mm-hmm. Before we talk, yeah.
Not counting this one?
Yeah, I know, right? Because I kind of, honestly, I kind of want to put this one in my top three.
Yeah, man. Fuck that. Temptation is number one.
Yes, yeah, same here.
Temptation is number one. Number two, I'm trying to decide because it's two very different movies.
I think I already know what your top threes are.
Acrimony and Fall from Grace.
I knew it. Yeah, I knew it.
Gotta be number two. Because that was number three. That was what I just named was my number three.
Which one? Fall from Grace?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
But I'm saying, like, not necessarily my number three, but my top three. My number one definitely is Temptation.
Yeah.
But then Fall from Grace and Acrimony, for me, it depends on the day which one is my favorite between those two.
Oh, okay.
So until Mea Culpa came out, though.
So now where does Mea Culpa go?
That was my top three.
Where does Mea Culpa go now?
Mea Culpa is... Man, I don't know. Cause I mean, Temptation is still number
one. You can't
one.
Beat. Was, yeah, you can't beat Temptation.
Mea Culpa was a good put up a good fight because Mea Culpa might be number two.
Oh wow!
I don't know. And I think I'm gonna say. I'm going to say Fall from Grace takes the spot of number three over Acrimony for me.
Oh, okay.
Because Fall from Grace is just so rushed. It's so bad. That is hilarious. And that cop.
Okay, I need to rewatch Fall from Grace and Acrimony.
Watch Fall from Grace and pay attention to that cop, the husband.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I need to
leaving people everywhere in handcuffs.
So my top three before Mea Culpa, pre Mea Culpa, Temptation is number one. I would say Acrimony is number two because when I left out Acrimony, I was like, "This is awesome!" I was on cloud nine when I left out of theater for Acrimony.
Oh, you saw it in the theater, yes. So that's a whole different experience.
Man, I mean, the people in the theater, they didn't appreciate it, but I did. I was like, "This is," I was like. I wanted to talk to somebody after I watched that movie. I wanted to talk to strangers. Did y'all see that? Did y'all see this movie? So Acrimony was my number two. For me, my number three before Mea Culpa is maybe Why Did I Get Married? I don't know between the two of them.
See, Why Did I Get Married is... It's still in the top, at least in the top five.
Yeah.
Now, Why Did I Get Married? Shit, though, Josh. Which one is better?
I know. I kind of want to count both of them because he don't usually do sequels.
They're kind of like a two-part train wreck.
Yeah. I don't know. They might both be equally good. There's things I like about both of them that I pick and choose. But I've seen the first one more. So maybe the first
one is probably better than the second one.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Second one just pissed me off. When, what you call it? Just suddenly
Malik Yoba just turned evil.
Yeah, man.
Because people turn evil in Tyler Perry movies often.
Yeah. Like it's something in the water.
I'm evil.
Yeah.
I might have to put, now that Mia Coppola's out, I might have to put that as my number three. But I need to rewatch Acrimony again.
That's what I'm saying, man. Mia Coppola is...
It's up there.
I like this movie more than Fall from Grace.
Yeah.
I like this movie more than Acrimony.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That's why I said I have to rewatch Acrimony. I've only seen Acrimony once. I just seen a lot of scenes a lot. That's what I do with Tyler Perry movies. I think the only... I've only seen Temptation. Like, I've seen Temptation maybe like three times. I mean, I can never get tired of Temptation.
Yeah, Temptation, I could watch that movie I don't know how many times. Acrimony, I've seen quite a few times. But to me, Fall from Grace has more replay value because there's more thing you find, you just notice about it. It's like... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Same thing with Temptation. And same thing with this movie here. Mia Coppola. I think I'm going to be watching this movie quite often.
I think so too. I've already watched it twice with no hesitation.
Yeah. Yeah, I've watched it twice already. At least twice.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be a third viewing soon. One day.
Yeah.
When like a year might go by and I'm like, you know what? This was really good.
Put on that Mia Coppola. It's Mia Coppola, not Mia Coppola, right? Yeah, Coppola.
Coppola. Yeah.
Mia Coppola.
So yeah, spoilers. I mean, me and Jason spoiled it already if you heard that episode. So this is the extra spoilers because we got to get Marcus's thoughts.
I just love this movie. So we're gonna get into, I guess, the spoilers. If you haven't already seen it,
right? You had to see it by now. Everybody's seen it. Oh my gosh, I've seen so many reviews of this movie on YouTube. Like, it felt like every black reviewer, even some white reviewers, reviewed this movie.
Have talked about this movie?
Yes, I've seen so many reviews of this movie. Everybody is talking about this movie.
It's just something to be said. It's so many different perspectives that you watch this movie from. I think that's why so many people have something to say about it.
Yeah.
Like, we were talking the other day, like, about how it's formulaic. It's like, would you say he take all his past scripts and throw them in the air?
Yeah, I said that in the past, yeah.
and then go scoop them all up and stack them up like shuffling cards. Like,
well, with this movie, he took three different scripts. He must have wrote three different movies.
Yeah.
And it was like picked up different scripts from different genres of movies.
So yeah, there's a lot of haves and have-nots in this movie.
I noticed that.
This movie is basically the haves and the have-nots mixed with Fall from Grace, sprinkled with a little Get Out on top.
And I guess a little Basic Instinct, right? In the middle of it, it's a little Basic Instinct or something.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Like the person falling in love with the person on trial.
Yeah, yeah. I never seen Basic Instinct, but I heard about it. Yeah, I know something like that. So,
yeah.
Let's talk about Act One, the first movie, the court case movie. So, how did you think this movie was going to go from that first act when you're introduced to the characters and, you know, where you see Kelly Rowland as this lawyer having problems with her husband, and then she, you know, meets Trevante Rhodes, who's on trial and stuff like that, and it's a big deal.
Yeah, I figured it was gonna go like she cheats on her husband with buddy, what's his name, Trevante
Rhodes.
Rhodes,
yeah.
He gets too attached when she, like, you know, is like, you know, she comes to her senses. She's like, I can't do this. I'm your lawyer. I'm married. This is wrong. I can't do this. And then he becomes clingy or whatever, and suddenly he's a psychopath, and you find out that he is the killer in this movie.
Yeah.
And then something happens, and they, like, there's a final fight scene between her, the killer, and, like, maybe, like, her husband or, like, her best friend or something.
Right.
And then her best friend gets killed in the last fight. They wrestle over a knife or a gun or something, but it's around all his paintings.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's all creepy because it's like he's like calling her name. That's, I thought it was going to be the typical kind of movie like that, but it was not. Did, none of that happened. It was completely set up to be like that, like the court case thriller, the erotic court case thriller. You know,
I didn't watch previews of this movie, so I thought it was going to be just a straight up court case movie where they in court. They didn't spend a single scene in court.
Oh, well, they're like, objection.
Right. Yeah.
Court. Court jargon.
I thought it was going to be like that. Like the guy find the mystery of like who killed his girlfriend and all this stuff. And, you know, you find the real killer and, you know.
Nah. You thought it was going to be a legit mystery
court. Yes, thing. I really did. Nah, that's my first.
I thought it was going to be like a typical, you know, Tubi style, almost like a 90s style court case erotic thriller. Mm. That's what I thought this was going to be. It was neither of the things that we thought.
It was at one point where I got so caught up in the movie that I forgot Tyler Perry wrote and directed this movie.
Right.
And then I guess it was more toward the end. I was like, oh, that's right. This is a Tyler Perry movie. Of course it's going to go this way.
Yep. Yep. So, I mean, that's pretty much it. She's supposed to be like a pretty smart lawyer, though. Like a pretty good lawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
And what, like her husband? Oh yeah, he's like an alcoholic, and
so he got high at work. He's like an anesthesiologist or something. What do you call him?
Anesthesiologist.
Yeah, and he was getting high on his own stuff, and he would show up to work drunk and high
on his anesthesia.
Yeah,
medicine.
On both. He was doing both.
I mean, how was he alive?
I know. Maybe you
fucking with that stuff,
right? Yeah, that's
like you only go under anesthesia or expose yourself to that if you absolutely have to.
Mm.
In my opinion.
Yeah, that was a little much. He definitely had problems.
Yeah. And then his brother was like, is his brother a judge? Or not a judge, but like a
DA.
Is he also a lawyer?
Yeah, yeah.
Or he's a district attorney?
Yeah, or something like that. I think he's higher up than Kelly Rowland was.
Because
mm-hmm. the fact that he said he was going to run for mayor and
yeah.
Yeah, he seemed like he had some establishment kind of thing. But I don't think he was a judge. Nothing like that.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a judge. It was like a DA. Yeah.
Yeah, and but she was known for being a defense attorney, so she defends criminals.
Right.
Like that's
criminals.
That's her thing, is defending.
You gotta be a damn good lawyer to do that, you know, to successfully. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, in that act one, you know, it's establishing the characters and getting everything set up. And I liked her character in act one. I did like her character in act one. It's not the same character in act two or act three, but I did like her in act one.
Yeah, her character in act one, that's why I thought it was going to go a certain way. Because she, in act one, she was a smart character. She was like, you know, the most respectable kind of character in the movie, aside from old buddy, her private eye homie.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, oh, I respect this character. She's really smart. She's probably going to, you know, have a moment of weakness or whatever. And then she's going to come to her senses and be like, you know, I can't do this. I thought it was going to be a lot like, what's that movie with Omar Epps?
And Nia Long?
And Nia Long.
Yeah, yeah, I forgot the name of that movie.
Fatal Affair.
Yeah, that's it, Fatal Affair. I thought it was going to be like that,
I thought it was going to be a lot like that, but in the courtroom.
You know,
in and out of the courtroom, because she's still like trying to she's still defending this dude or whatever. Like, she still has to be his defense attorney,
right?
Or I don't know what she would do at that point. If she was, maybe it'd be a way shorter movie if that was
maybe
it. As an attorney, she'd be like, yeah, he definitely did it. He's trying to kill me too. Yeah,
because like they established how Trevante Rhodes' character was, Zaire or something like that, was that his character's name?
Yeah, Zaire, that's his artist name.
Yeah. And like he already knew what he was from day one.
Yeah,
and I knew he was gonna be hitting on her.
Slick playboy. I already knew where that was gonna, where his general character was spot on,
right,
from what I thought it was gonna be.
And when he hit on her, she did like present him with the facts, like, look, I am not your friend, I am your lawyer, and you have to be honest with me. And she was like, look at me, you have to be honest with me. I was like, I liked her in Act One. I was like, okay,
she's
standing her ground. You know, she's like, I'm not going to let this guy, even though I find him attractive, I'm not going to let him play my mind this way. I'm going to do my job.
I'm going to still catch him at his game.
Right. So I did like that about her. And of course, you know, when you meet her in-laws, man, her mama, her mother-in-law, oh my God.
Yeah. I feel like I met her.
Really?
Not the actress, but that
character. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I feel like I met her.
There's people like that. She was almost a stereotypical mother-in-law at first, but it was like, no, she was way worse than a stereotypical mother-in-law.
Yeah. That personality, that overbearing personality.
Yeah.
That's got to have all the attention or like run everything down to the point where she telling people where to sit.
Right. Yeah.
You know, at the table and shit like that. So
I was like, why did these girls marry into this family? Why did her friend marry the brother-in-law? Because I was like, he was
an asshole. Man. Yeah. He was an asshole. Let me look up the IMDb. Yeah. Asshole. that's the name of the character.
Assholian.
Assholian. Assholian, but crusty. Yeah.
Oh, man. I got to look up his name for real. Because I think it was Ray. I think his character's name was Ray.
Yes, I believe you're right. Right.
And her husband's name was Cal. So yeah. And they're brothers in real life.
Yeah, they are. Brothers in real life. So that's cool, you know. I like when that works out, because that worked out in this movie.
Yeah.
You know, they're brothers in real life, so it's that makes those two characters more believable.
Right. So they probably really are mixed.
Yeah, and like, isn't it Act One where they're sitting at the table with the friend that the husband grew up with?
Yeah, because that's the first time we meet the family is in that scene.
Yeah. Yeah, she said she's making Kelly Rowland sit like at the end of the table.
Yeah.
Away from her husband.
Right.
While the female friend from back in the day, she wants to hook them up. And basically I was about to say low key hating on Cal and and what's her name's Cal and Mia's relationship. She ain't even low key hating. Like she ain't trying to hide that shit at all.
No, she said stuff like, "You should have been my daughter in law" and stuff to the friend girl, all that kind of crap. Like,
yeah, she don't give a fuck.
Because like when we're introduced to Mia and Kyle at the therapy when they're doing their marriage counseling, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like he's cheating, but then when you meet the mother-in-law, I'm like, oh, I see what's going on. She's the puppet master. That's what's going on.
Right.
Because I didn't.
She's pulling all the strings.
Right. So I didn't really get the feeling that Cal was cheating with this girl, but more like his mother is trying to set them up and break up Mia and Cal. Mm. That's what it felt more like that.
Yeah. And she's not secretive about it whatsoever.
No, not at all. She makes it clear she does not like her.
And that she wants them to get a divorce so that her son can marry her. Very specific what her obvious plans are.
Goodness. But he doesn't stand up for his wife, though. He doesn't. He just.
No, he doesn't. Neither of them do.
Right. Yeah.
They both just sit there.
Because even though.
And nobody at the table stands up to
him. Right. And Cal, like we said, he lost his job and he doesn't even tell his family. And Mia's the one supporting their family, and then the in-laws are saying some shit like, Cal does so much for you. He does so much for you. Like, no, he doesn't. He's unemployed.
Yep.
So they were a horrible family.
He lets them believe that he's still, on and popping. Yeah.
So
that's pretty much, that's act one.
Yeah. Meeting everybody, and of course, interviewing Zaire, Mia, and the PI interviewing Zaire, and you hear about all this, like, because he's like uncomfortable and stuff. I like I said, I liked Act One because I thought Act One was going a certain way,
mm-hmm.
but then we got to
Act. And who's the actor playing the what's his name playing the detective?
Oh, playing the PI.
Yeah,
Ronrico Lee.
Yeah, Rodrigo Lee.
Yeah.
I like everything that
he's awesome.
I watch everything that he's in, man.
He's awesome, yeah.
He's awesome.
I was like happy when I saw him walk on the screen and say, hey!
Yeah, I knew it was going to be, decent with him in it.
Yeah. But then we get to Act Two, man. I got so disappointed when Act Two showed up. And then I just gave it into the movie.
Act two, it starts to morph into a different kind of movie.
Yes. Because, I don't like the cliche of, which is a lot of movies do this. So sometimes Tyler Perry is way different from his movies. And other times he does fall into some movie tropes and cliches. And one of the cliches he was doing was, like, the husband she has right now is not good enough, but this new guy, he's mysterious. He's
literally everything that her husband isn't.
Right, yeah.
And he's perfect because of it.
Because, like, the scene of her and Cal are having sex, and Cal finishes and looks like he had a heart attack because he's, like, holding his heart.
I know, he was holding his heart and breathing hard. Like, damn, nigga.
Like, damn.
It's funny that you noticed that, because I noticed that immediately. I was like, damn, are you okay?
I know.
He was breathing like, hard.
He was holding his chest. Like, dude,
breathing
hard. Never had an orgasm before, dude.
But he was doing a lot of work. For her to like be sitting there, she looked very disappointed.
Man, he might as well had a pillow there instead of her. because she's it's like she didn't feel a thing. It's not enjoyable.
It's
for
like
her
they
at
just
all.
Jumped in the bed, and that's what happened. Like they just they're like, okay, we're gonna have sex now. Like right before that shot, because it's a shot of the two of them in the bed, and it's like panning across, like from their feet all the way up to them.
Yeah,
and like it's a well put together shot. Like some money was put behind this movie. This movie looks better than
all his movies.
It looks
really.
Just as good at right. It looks just as good as Temptation, if not better than Temptation.
I think it looks better than Temptation.
It actually does because it's updated cameras and all that.
Yeah,
updated editing and whatever. This is. Yeah, I would say this is his best looking movie.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's as if that scene started at. They're like, all right, we about to have sex. Oh, for real, we're going to have sex? Yes. And then they get undressed and they lay back on the bed. And then that immediately. He just start grinding with everything he had. And then, he's about to have a heart attack. Like, god damn, nigga. Are you okay?
I know. She should be looking disappointed. She should be looking concerned.
Concerned.
Should I call 911?
Oh shit!
Yeah, that was hilarious. But
so a little bit of Lawnmower Man in this movie.
I know. Well, he couldn't get it up in Lawnmower Man.
No, but he could though. When he wasn't taking his medicine.
Oh, yeah. That's true. So, yeah. Yes, this was very similar to Lawnmower Man.
It had some Lawnmower Man element. Because Lawnmower Man also goes in that same direction. The wife gets bored with the husband. She cheats with the mysterious man. She comes to her senses. She's like, yo, this is wrong. We can't see each other anymore. The mister gets... obsessive and psychotic. You know, I thought it was going to be.
Oh yeah, in that way
down that road.
Yeah, Zaire doesn't
but
do that.
That
though.
Did not happen.
No, it did not.
It's Tyler Perry.
Yes,
Tyler Perry did this movie.
It's like sometimes he'll write a cliche movie and then he'll be like, "Nah, I'm gonna change some stuff around."
He's a genius. He does that to throw us off. He's like, "Y'all think I'm gonna do the typical ass Tyler Perry movie?"
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Cause like
I know what y'all be thinking about me. I be watching the podcast. I know who the fuck Marcus and Josh
is. Oh, he does.
He don't gotta ask.
Oh man. Cause like but yeah, Zaire, he's making those moves. And I liked that Mia tried to get him to come to the office after gets a little hot and heavy at his loft. Cause I was like, why are you going to his loft a lot? This is professional. But he's all like, I don't like it here. I don't like it. Come back to my place. Come back to my place. Like Zaire is pushing. He is pushing.
And he's not, he is pushing. That is his whole quote unquote game.
Mm.
Is to get, if I could get her at my loft, I got her. I'm gonna make her paint and I'm a painter. After I tap that egg,
mm-hmm.
I'm a painter.
That's why he went to her. Yeah. He was like, "Oh, that's a sexy lawyer. I'm gonna smash."
Mm-hmm. Right.
Grabbing her, holding on to her back while her husband's right there.
Yeah,
I was like, "What the hell?"
Yeah, disrespect.
Right. He didn't care. So, Yeah. So he got her. So as soon as he get her to come to his place again, he was like, "Admit that you find me attractive." He's like throwing that on her and stuff, and she's like, "Hey." He's like, "No, the new lawyer. I want a new lawyer. Then I want a new lawyer."
Because you want to admit that you're attracted to me. What the fuck?
That doesn't make any. I know. I was like, "That's so stupid."
You're a fucking trial, nigga.
Right? You got no time to be playing like this. Just because you want to smash.
You so horny that you can't get over, you can't focus on the fact that you're facing life in fucking prison for a second. maybe you let me win this case for you, and then you try to, whatever. If that's what you're going to do.
That's probably why the second act bothered me, because they threw the first act out the window. Because it was like, okay, he's on trial for murder. And now he's focused. He's not even focused on the trial anymore. He's focused on smashing.
He's suddenly completely not even worried about the trial.
Right. He just wants to get her pants. He's
a bit worried about it. Yeah.
That's all he's focused about. It's like, dude, I'm sorry, but if I'm on trial for murder, ass is the last thing I'm thinking about right now.
Ass can wait. Let me see if I'm gonna,
Let me make sure I don't be.
Make sure I don't got a guard man.
Right.
Shit.
What the
fuck? I want to be, because I'm right now. I am concerned with ass, but it's in a different capacity right now.
Right, completely different way.
Completely different way. I'm concerned with my ass. So
he wasn't taking things seriously.
You can win this case for me, please.
Right.
Help me.
Because I was like, maybe they shouldn't have made it such a big thing where he's on trial for murder. If they were going to put the two characters together like that, it should have been something smaller, like getting sued for his art or something stupid. That way it's like, okay, mm-hmm. That's more believable. But on trial for murder and from his ex-girlfriend? I mean, if it was more like, because I thought a little bit about Jonathan Majors a little bit, because, he was on trial, but it was for hitting his
domestic
violence. So if it was like that, then I can see that would have been interesting. But murder is like, it just made the characters stupid in act two, in my opinion. It's like they got so horny, like they were in high school horny, that they completely forgot about the trial. Because suddenly his mind was like, I just want to fuck. Suddenly, like, dude, jack off before she gets there, okay?
I know. Like, damn, like, hey, you're in trial for murder. My dick. Yeah, man. Yeah, so, yes, that's, you've got erotic thriller movie in the act two.
Yes, because what you think about the sex dungeon?
Man, that sex dungeon was so fucking random, but so I wasn't surprised, but I was surprised that it was there, but I wasn't surprised. That's one of them things, like you said, that reminds you, oh yeah, this is Tyler Perry.
Oh yeah.
Of course there's a random sex dungeon in the
is why some people compare it to a Tubi movie, because that's not surprising to see in a Tubi movie.
That's something straight out of people's movie.
Oh yeah. Yep.
People.
Yeah, the people's. Yeah, yeah. Diary of a Unicorn and
mm-hmm.
Memoirs of a Vixen. You'll see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they show sex.
Taboo.
Yep. Taboo. Yep. You'll see that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So I wasn't. I guess I've seen so many Tubi movies that I'm not surprised to see it.
Yeah.
In a movie, because a lot of Tubi movies feel like Tyler Perry movies.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And a lot of Tyler Perry feel like Tubi movies. So
I feel like Tubi movies are
mini. It wasn't
mini,
completely out of place.
I feel like Tubi movies are mini Tyler Perry movies. They're trying to be like Tyler Perry. And I think mm-hmm. Tyler Perry, I think he made Mia Coppola just to show everyone, no, I'm the king. I'm the king. This is how you do it. Right, right.
Put some dollars behind.
Y'all try to be like me. Nerve. I ain't trying to be like y'all. Y'all trying to be like me. That's what he's did.
Right.
Me, your Coopla.
Me and a couple of y'all is trying to be like. That's what the movie really stands for.
Right.
It's just me and a couple of y'all trying to be like me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think he's ever got this graphic before.
What, with the sex and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
It's Have and Have Nots got a couple scenes, though.
Oh, yeah?
But this is still the most graphic, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been just inching his way towards it, because, it's a slow process, because he started off, doing the movie where It used to be every single movie they ended up having to go to church to resolve whatever the problem was.
Right.
And the most he would show was some domestic abuse or whatever, and some revenge. And then now it's like a whole spectrum. Now he's on this whole other side of the spectrum where, people cussing, it's rated R, people fucking, people killing each other, and having have not something. It was a whole car bomb that went off. Somebody blew up in a car and they showed the body afterwards. That shit had me and Tori hollering. That shit was so.
Yeah, y'all showed us the scene. Funny. Y'all showed us the scene. We were talking about how clean the car looked inside.
I know the car was all clean and they had this graphic
skeleton. Body. Yeah, skeleton like only the skeleton burnt blew up.
Flesh all over.
Like, the seats all clean.
That was a very specific bomb.
Yeah.
It only disintegrates human flesh.
He kind of got rid of the light skinned savior. I haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I haven't seen that in a while. Yeah, I haven't seen that in a while. Or the family picnic. I hadn't seen that in a while either.
Mm. They haven't been to church. Nobody goes to church in this movie.
It's a whole spectrum. Like he had to. It's a very slow pivot you got to do when you're building. The career and building all the following. He's constantly getting bigger and bigger.
Right. And plus,
as he pivots, he got to pivot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So. Plus, you kind of keep up with your fans a little bit, too. You know what your fans want, and they might get tired of the same old, same old. Because his early stuff was kind of the same old, same old. And so now things are different. It's like, yeah. So she has sex with Zaire right after he's having sex with the neighbor, like immediately. Like,
so they were having sex, him and the neighbor. And then she's like, hey, what are you doing? And they was like, we're in here having sex. You want to have some sex? And she's like, no, I'm going to get out of here. And then Zaire's like, well, you can leave if you want to. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to get some head. And then so the neighbor's like, starts like giving him head. And then like, she's trying to get out of the elevator.
Right.
And well, trying to go down the elevator.
Right.
And he purposely doesn't let her down. He basically forces her to watch them from the elevator.
Right, yeah.
As he gets, some head or whatever. And so, then she leaves and she's mad. And then she's like, I think I want to fuck him anyway.
Well, because she get the phone call, thinks that her husband is cheating.
That her husband is cheating, yeah. Because that detective, her best friend / detective, the private eye, is like, hey, your husband's cheating. Didn't he turn out he was wrong about that?
Yeah, so what happened was... He was like, oh, is this about Cal? She's like, what about Cal? Oh, well, look, check your phone. And it was a picture of Cal going into the hotel with his friend girl at the Winston or whatever. He's like, yeah, it's in room 715, 714 or something like that. And he's like, Mia, don't do anything stupid. Don't do anything stupid. Calm down, Mia. And she's like, I'll call you back. And then she goes. And I'm like, oh, okay. So she's going to go and confront Cal and,
It's gonna be a real Tubi movie,
right? Right.
Catch him fucking.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen that before. Yeah, but nope. Tyler Perry's like, "Oh, you think you're watching a Tubi movie?
Well, you think that's a rug underneath you?"
Nah, Mia goes and she's like, "I gotta have sex with Zaire right now."
Right. I got to go right now. I don't care how much his dick stinks.
I know. This woman that's on him looked like a crack whore. She's like high or whatever on X or something. And she immediately gets off of his dick. And Mia's like, I want some of that too. It's so funny. So I'm watching this with my 18-year-old daughter. And Andy made the joke. She said,
"Parents ain't here."
I know. Hey, she's over 18, so she can get these jokes now. And she was like, she joked. She's like, "Oh, my turn now." I was like, "Yeah, might as well have said that."
Right. Can you get up? Because it's my turn.
Tag team. All right. All right. Slap hands.
Tag team back again.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. And then they went out. They didn't actually have sex. They went out riding on a motorcycle.
Yeah. And then came back.
And they come back stanking all to be damned. And then had sex.
Right. And then on paint.
So your balls aren't sweaty and nasty. And
I don't see him showering in any. I didn't see him shower in any part. Yes. He literally goes from fucking this other woman to getting
he
on
went,
the
he went
motorcycle.
From getting his dick sucked.
Yes.
Getting, to fucking the
that
other
woman.
Lady,
right. To get.
To riding a motorcycle all night.
Right. And then.
In tight leather pants.
And then having sex in paint.
And then having sex in paint.
Not one scene of him showering or bathing. Oh my gosh, man.
And why was that? There was a lot of focus on his hips and ass during that scene. It was a lot. It was like a Tubi movie.
Yes. Tyler Perry knows his audience is mostly women.
It was paint dripping down the middle of his ass.
Oh, goodness. I wouldn't look at that. I was trying to look at Kelly Rowland because I noticed that her breasts were covered
it was
in
right
paint.
In the camera. You know what I'm saying? She was completely covered because it's Kelly Rowland. Like, she like, I ain't about to get butt naked up in here.
Right,
but
of course.
The camera was focused very much on
Trevante Rhodes. Him. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, man. Pretty funny. And then they fell asleep in the sweaty ball of paint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't make a painting out of them fucking or whatever. Like, see, this is what we created together. see all those ass and balls right there.
That's what I thought. Right. I thought they were going to, like, I thought he was going to take that and hang it up and be like, try to give it a name or something. Like,
I call it sweaty balls. I don't know what he would call it.
Sweaty balls and erotica.
Yeah, sweaty balls.
Like, you know, put that up.
Right.
But that's not what he did either. Nothing that I thought was going to happen in this movie.
I agree. Same.
I can definitely give it that. That's why it so quickly went up to the top.
Very true. So
that's act two.
Yeah. Well, sort of, because at the end of act two is when she finds out that he had a bunch of women that he painted on the ceiling after he talked to the art gallery lady.
Basically, if he painted you, that means he fucked you.
Right. Zaire, spoiler alert, has had sex with every woman in this movie except for like the mother-in-law.
Yeah. And he was trying to have sex with her.
Would be surprised.
Wasn't successful.
Maybe there's a deleted scene where he actually did.
Like he had like a little pain. Just a little pain. Just a like the sketch of the painting he planned to do of her. Yep.
Well, I forgot Cal's friend girl. He didn't have sex with her. Or maybe he did. I don't know. Zaire's a sex addict.
And a sneaky bastard.
Yeah, they compared him to a snake. So a snake doesn't strike like that. I bust out laughing when, so this is the end of Act Two when Kelly Rowland comes back to his place after talking to the art gallery person and start ripping those paintings down or whatever. And you know, she sees all them different paintings of all those different women. And it's a lot of them. So, all right, this is what I thought about. So she gets to the one where it's his ex-girlfriend that's dead and says, "Die, bitch, die." And she like freaks out. So, and he says that.
Why did he write
that? Why did he write that? he says that is after you showed me the video. And so that's why I thought about it, because I thought about this later. I said, wait a minute. So he showed her she showed him the video like maybe last week, maybe a few days ago. Why are there so many?
Which video?
The video where she says that she is in fear for her life from Zaire. Like, he's going to kill me. He's going to kill me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he never saw that video before and can't explain it and stuff. And so when Mia finds the painting of her and he says, die, bitch, die, there's a bunch of other paintings above that.
Before that.
So I'm like, so that means, and he said he wrote that after he saw the video, which was probably 5 days ago. Think about it.
So he fucked a different woman every day. Night.
Yes, and made like, a painting.
Every day you fuck a different woman and make a painting. He putting in a lot of work.
Cause that was a lot of paintings.
I mean, he can do that because he's not showering in between. We know this.
No.
He's fucking in paint. So that gets the base of the paint started right there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he'll have the woman paint. Sometimes he'll blindfold him and have them paint. Sometimes he'll fuck him in some paint. And then that'll help get the painting started either way. And then if he focus on a different, he got a sex dungeon right downstairs.
Right.
He can go grab him a random piece of ass every night. And plus his neighbor fucking him.
Right.
But like, if he want a different woman, he got a sex dungeon right downstairs. He could go take his pick, bring them upstairs, have sex in paint, finish the painting of them, go down the next month. He not showering. He go down there the next day and do it all over again. So it's possible.
This dude got a sex addiction.
If he works real fast. Yeah. And he's a very productive artist. He found a way to mass produce these pieces. Part of it involves naked bodies rolling around on the canvas first.
Yes. He pulls the same trick every time. It's like every time a girl wakes up in bed, see baby, I painted that painting of you next day. See baby, I painted that painting of you next day.
He's putting in a lot of work because he also gotta get up super early the last day after he smashed. Damn, wait a minute, Josh. So he finishing the painting the same day?
Yeah, I guess so.
God damn, he putting in work.
It's all just
that
means
that
ass.
He ain't even sleeping or paying to do this. But he not sleeping or paying.
When she got pissed off and saw the painting that said "Die, bitch, die," I bust out laughing when he said, "But Mia, I love you." I said, I'm done. Yeah. I said, my brain is turned off for this movie.
But why did she go over there and start doing that, start peeling off the paintings while he was there? She just went over there.
Because the art gallery lady told her exactly
does. That, but I'm saying, why the fuck this nigga on trial for murder? He obviously crazy. The lady done already told you what he do. If you want to find out, you can find out, but wait till the nigga leave. Like, hey, I forgot something at your place. You mind if let me in? You know what I'm saying? Like, you mind if I... Didn't he give her a key?
I don't know.
Or am I getting confused with the two movies?
Maybe, I don't know.
But she could have went over there. She could have snuck and did that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, especially... Like,
till he go to the bathroom or something. I don't know.
Well, she was upstairs while he was downstairs. That's when it happened, because he was...
Yeah, but it's a loft.
Yeah.
You see right up there.
Yeah, because that's why he had to run up when he heard her peeling the paint down and stuff.
Hey, wait a minute. I'll be right there. What are you doing?
Oh, man. So... Then Act 3 started, or whatever. I think that was part of Act 3, maybe. Well, when she gets off the case and reveals to the in-laws that she cheated on Cal, and Cal flips out, literally flips the table, and
You said this is a random horror movie. Yeah. This is when suddenly becomes Get Out.
Yes.
Yep.
So, because she goes to the Dominican Republic by herself to get away from everything because she messed up or whatever. And she sees the girl that, and that girl still is actually alive. And it's a small world. Because I'm like, because I said with Jason, I was like, of all the places, how did they, it's a weird, stupid coincidence.
In the Dominican Republic.
Right, in that big old place, and then at the same hotel, but then I thought about, I was like, well, maybe there's a scene we forgot about.
Out of all the places in the world, she could have ran into her.
Right. I think there's a deleted scene that's supposed to be there, because her and Zaire talked about going to the Dominican Republic after they had sex, and then they was all lovey-dovey and stuff. He was all bathing her. Notice that he was bathing her. She wasn't. He wasn't in the bath with her.
Yeah, Zaire does not bathe once in his movie.
No, he does not. So they talked about going to the Dominican Republic. So maybe he had plans to do that with his ex. Maybe that could have been. Maybe that's what it was, and that's why she ended. Because she ended up going to the Dominican Republic without him. So maybe he got that idea of mentioning the Dominican Republic because of his ex. And maybe that's why. I'm just giving this movie credit. Like, maybe I'm trying to piece the missing plot holes together for that. Because otherwise it's a stupid coincidence.
Wait, whose ex?
Zaire's ex that he's accused of murdering.
Oh, yeah. To randomly run into her like that anywhere is just, that's just as random as like Kevin McAllister running into Harry and Marvin, New York City, of all places after they escape prison.
Right, yeah, good point. Yeah, so I guess sometimes movies work out that way. So... what did you think about that? Just that whole thing, just the whole lead up to when she ended up going back, like calling her, what's his name? Her brother-in-law. Yeah.
When the whole family attacked her Get Out style and she escaped Get Out style. The only thing I was mad at was like when the lady jumped on the hood, I would have just slammed my brakes as hard as I could and just sent her flying.
Yeah.
And then still had a car to drive away in.
Yes.
Instead, she drove like mad into a fucking tree. And then she fucked up the damn car.
Of course.
I'm like, damn, now you done fucked up your getaway. It's like in Act 3, really in Act 2, she starts making every dumb decision that she can make in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what,
including getting in the car with the husband at the end, because she got in the car with him. Like I would have put it all together and be like, I don't trust your motherfucking ass neither.
Right, right. I don't think any woman would.
Right. You know,
because it's like his family already tried to kill her, so it's like you probably in on with her family. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's your family. Why wouldn't you be in on? Because you shady acting anyway, so why wouldn't you be in on it?
Right.
So, yeah, that was in the car, yeah, that part where she put him on Bluetooth and, like, acted, like, he acted like he didn't understand that he was on fucking Bluetooth.
Right, in the car. Right.
Like, the sound didn't change for you.
That's what I noticed too, because I was like, does he not notice? But then he's very calm when he gets off the phone, though.
When he's talking to 911.
Oh my gosh.
He's like, hello, 911. Like, when he called them the first time.
Right.
Nobody says that when they call 911, because you know the first thing 911 says when you call them?
Hello, 911. That's what 911 says.
What's your emergency?
Right. What's your emergency? Exactly.
So you don't ever have to ask. that you're talking to 911.
Right.
Once you get off the phone with 911, I ain't never heard of 911 calling you back. I don't know if that's a thing, but I never heard of it either. And then he was like, hello? Oh, 911? Yeah. And he looking over and he's like, And then she puts him on speaker. And then he's like, you bring her home, bring her here. And then he's like, yeah, okay. As if he don't realize he don't speak it. So we was imagining the conversation.
Because we imagine this conversation because it's like he
said, like five
times. Right before, and then he's saying the main stuff when she finally hears it. He said, make sure you bring her back over here. Right. So we were like, what is he saying before that?
He's on the phone, his brother on the phone like, yeah, did you get her?
Uh-huh.
Y'all in the car.
Uh-huh.
She fine.
Uh-huh.
She look good.
Uh-huh.
You got your seatbelt on?
Uh-huh.
Are y'all coming to the house?
Uh-huh.
He puts on speakerphone, bring her here. <It's> What kind of dumbass question? What were you asking before he got put on speakerphone? That shit cracked me up. And then she suddenly Mission Impossible Tom Cruise.
Oh, I know.
Undid his seatbelt and like I guess veered the car in such a way that it was precisely to where he could get launched out of the car and get hit by the train or whatever. The 18-wheeler.
Right.
Where he... And she would just survive. Miraculously.
Maybe she wasn't expecting to survive. Even though she kept her seatbelt on.
Maybe she wasn't accept. Yeah, maybe she was like, look, I may take us both out, but...
Maybe I'll have a chance of living.
Right.
Because like, all right.
Okay, Tyler Perry.
Well, because a little story that the listeners probably don't know. I was an Uber driver years ago, and I had a really racist passenger.
I already know this story.
Yeah, he knows the story. Because I talk about this story all the time when we're not on the podcast. So I had a really racist passenger. He was so obviously racist. He's like, he's just oozing out at racism. Because I'm listening to Tribe Called Quest very, very low, not even that loud. Yeah. And he's just like, can you please turn off that offensive music? And I was like, I can, but these guys are not saying anything offensive. At all. I'm playing Stressed Out by Tribe Called Quest. They're talking about dealing with problems, life problems.
Right. Being stressed.
Right. And so,
like, you're stressing me right now.
Right. So I turned to a station that I knew was a white station because I already knew it was offensive. Translated to me as black. I already knew. And so, but this guy already made me uncomfortable because I could smell racism from a mile away. And of course, he proved me right because, you know, fast forward to the end when he got out of the car, he waited till he got out of the car and he said, I just don't want to hear any of that nigger music. He literally said that. So before it got to that point, I always tell Marcus this, I always joke about this because we was like driving on like a highway bridge. And I said, I knew he was so racist that I thought about just driving us both off of a cliff. Like we're going together.
I'll show you. Blast the NWA off the side of the cliff.
Straight out of Compton. Just driving off the edge. But after watching Mia Coppola, I would have undid his seatbelt and left mine on because I would have lived.
Undid his seatbelt and slam your brake. That'd have been like, we don't condone this, ladies and gentlemen. We just making jokes. That'd have been like Death Proof, you remember?
Barely, but yeah.
The first chick he killed, he had her in that race car.
Yeah.
And then he like drove around all crazy or whatever. And she ain't had no seatbelt on this side.
That's why you gotta
work. Nigger music.
Of course, I reported him to the Uber people. They suspended him, and they made sure. Well, now I'm not suspended. They actually banned him from using Uber.
They banned him from
Uber. Yeah, they banned him from Uber. So it was a slightly happy ending. Of course, I had to really push it because they were like,
"Well, I'll get a lift. Maybe I'll get a wife."
Maybe he appealed it, but it was nigger music.
Well, okay.
Oh, so after she kills her husband, which I didn't like her husband turning evil randomly. I really didn't. But
yeah,
especially when they already established that his family was evil. I wanted him to stand up for her, but
there was a thing I wanted to clear up with. He does hit her once.
Yeah.
He hits her. The husband hits her once. After he turns evil suddenly, because it's all in the same scene. It all happened so fast.
Yeah. So he hits her.
Never laid a hand on.
So he hits her while he's driving.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. While he's driving, he punches her in the face.
Oh, okay.
Because she says something, and he like pow, like punched her in the face.
At least it didn't come out of nowhere, like the wrong one.
It did come out of nowhere. You think so? Though, I'm like, he didn't even give the inclination that he would ever raise his hand on her. You know what I'm saying? Like, he never even came off like that kind of character. It was never established. And it was established that he was an alcoholic and that he was on, what do you call it?
He could be cheating.
Anesthetics. And that he could be cheating. But it was never implied that he was like physically abusive or anything. Then all of a sudden he's like, in Tyler Perry world, evil goes from 1 to 1,000. When somebody suddenly turns evil, they're fucking evil.
Yes, they are. Yes, that's why I love Acrimony. That's why I love Acrimony. Yeah. She gets super villain evil.
That's why I like Temptation.
That dude, he does turn super villain evil as well. It's like like wow.
Yeah.
So she succeeds and lives, and she's able to walk right and all that stuff. After
no physical therapy, no kind of crutches, nothing. She's fine.
Right, they arrest Ray, and I guess, you know, everybody else is dead, but Ray, apparently.
But people in these Tyler Perry movies have superhuman strength, though, because on that fight, on the Get Out fight, when she was trying to get out, the brother-in-law, he gets beat in the head.
Oh, twice. With a frying pan. I remember
with,
that.
With a cast iron skillet.
Yeah.
I think he gets punched or kicked a couple times.
Yeah, I think he does.
He gets like punched in the ribs, if not stabbed in the ribs.
I don't think
he gets stabbed in the neck or something.
I don't think
somewhere.
He gets stabbed. I don't remember him getting stabbed.
Yeah, she jukes him in the neck to get away from him. Cause she gets in the car. Hold on, I'm gonna try to play that scene. I'm trying to find it. She jukes him in the fucking neck, dude.
Mm.
When she's like running away from him.
Well, you know, adrenaline does come to play a lot, you know, when something like this happens.
How much adrenaline do these Tyler Perry characters have? Because the dude in what's his name? Fall from Grace. She beat that motherfucker head in.
That's right. I need to watch
with a bat.
That's right, because she's on trial for his
death. Back up at the end of the movie with a Band-Aid on his forehead.
I gotta watch that movie again. I forgot about it.
Nose still intact. He shouldn't even have no damn face the way she beat his ass.
Because she thought he was dead. That was the whole point of that movie. And then he was like, "Oh, I just had a little Band-Aid, a little scratch."
Yeah. She stabs him in the neck.
Oh, okay.
When she's trying to get in the car, they're wrestling. And then she grabs, she grabs like some keys or something out of her pocket.
Oh, don't she stab in the ear?
In the throat or something. In the neck or something. I don't know. But this motherfucker still popped up alive and well.
Yeah, that's a lie. So, because I was going to defend
these folks in these Tyler Perry movies, it's no wonder she can survive that car crash.
Oh, well, maybe her husband's still alive.
You know, she's just fine.
You know what? Maybe all the other characters are alive. Maybe the mother-in-law is still alive, too, and the sister-in-law is alive.
Yeah.
And then it ends with her and the...
It literally ends. Yeah. He's like, I want to thank Mia for getting me off and not in more ways than the one. you know, because, you know, she, I guess, you know, the mother-in-law and, I mean, the brother-in-law got arrested, right?
Yeah.
For the murder.
Yeah.
Because he orchestrated all everything.
Right. Which I don't know how, movies love doing that, wrapping everything up, and it's like.
Just wrapping it up. Yeah, yeah, I did it all. And twist their mustache. And then they go to jail.
Right. It always wraps up perfectly clean in the movie. Just because you don't feel like dealing with the whole explaining the ending. So it's like, oh, no, he's bad, so he's going to jail. That's all we need to know.
Yep.
And Gervonta Rhodes is not going to jail. Like, or he's out of jail because he didn't kill the girl. The girl's still alive.
Right. And then there, he's on the news, like, thanking her or whatever. And then she walks off dressed like Carmen Sandiego. Yeah.
She does. Like,
why do you have on a trench coat and
shades?
And shades?
Right, got her hair covered.
And why are you throwing your phone away? She didn't remove the SIM card. She didn't even
it's a burner.
Turn it off.
It's a burner phone.
But she didn't even turn it off.
For dramatic effect.
Now she just laid it on the top of the trash ever so gently for anybody to just pick up and grab.
Right. Ooh, free cell phone.
Go through all her phones. Go through all her shit.
Well, it's a burner phone, so she don't have any information on there.
So.
But how did Zaire get that number?
Right.
Mm.
How did he get the number? Was that her burner phone, though? Because didn't her phone get smashed?
Yeah.
Her wife, when her mother-in-law hit that WWE goddamn knee on that bitch.
Yeah. So then
she had to have practiced that shit.
I know, right?
Cheap ass phone.
I don't think that could happen to my phone. Wow. But hey. Yeah, I don't get that part. I didn't get that where she had to go into hiding, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know why. For what? Why? Why? Anybody who would want her dead is either dead or in prison.
Right, exactly.
So why is she in hiding? Why is she throwing away a burner phone? For what? What? You weren't involved in any crime. Why do you have a burner phone? But wouldn't that be her main phone? Because she would have had to replace a phone.
Right, exactly. So
the only number he would have had to contact her would be her main phone number that he already had. So that's why I don't think that was a burner phone in the trash. I think that was her actual phone in the trash. She was just being irresponsible.
Oh.
Because how would he have a burner phone number?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's confusing. I don't know. But
I think she was literally just being irresponsible for dramatic effect. Like, yeah, I'm going to just lay this in the trash. I'm not going to take out my SIM card. I'm not going to... I don't know. I thought that was weird.
So, yep.
And then it ends.
Yeah, then it ends. Any favorite characters?
My favorite character is Runrico.
Mine too.
Even though he was a terrible detective. I like Runrico. And my second favorite character?
Kind of hard for me to think of a second favorite character.
I actually enjoyed Kelly Rowland. I enjoyed watching her. She did a good job in this movie. I think she really did. Like, she, I forget it's Kelly Rowland, really.
Yeah.
I believe that she's this character.
She does a good job. I mean? Yeah, she did a good job. Cause
she does a very good job.
I don't think she's ever starred in a movie before.
I don't remember her starring in the movie, but I thought she carried this movie really well.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching.
Because, like, I've seen her in other movies, but she'll have a small part in other movies. Mm-hmm. But she was in this Marlon Wayans movie. It was like a Halloween movie, and she just played his wife. And, like, that was her only part. And she...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a Netflix movie.
She's easy to look at. I mean,
oh, yeah, yeah. She's gorgeous. But, yeah.
Beyond that, she really had a really good performance. I believed that she was this character. So
yeah,
great job on that.
I don't know if I would say she's my other favorite character, but maybe because like Act One version of her, I would say yes.
Yeah, Act One version of her was,
but not
really
Act
dope.
Two and Act Three versions of her. She was making dumb decisions in Act Two.
Oh,
and three.
I know who my third favorite character is—the dude who walks up to her in the sex dungeons like, "Want to fuck?" He was funny.
So how would you rate this movie?
It's definitely a replay. I will definitely watch this movie a few more times.
No, yep. Not sequel level?
Nah, I don't need no sequel to this.
But as far as our rating...
I would just watch this.
As far as our rating system, though.
That's how I go by it. Like, would I actually... want a sequel to this? Like, no.
Oh, like what if it was like a sequel, but it was like it was different characters,
like a spinoff.
Yeah, like completely different characters or whatever. And but they brought back Trevante Rhodes again because he's, you know, he ain't no he's not, you don't want to...
No, he can't carry. No,
I'm talking about the same kind of character though. He's like trying to seduce this woman,
and it's him again.
Well, maybe a different guy, but maybe, I don't know. Because, you know, that's how it would be a sequel, because it would be the same guy, because I doubt it would be her.
He was not very interested in this movie. His character, his acting was very flat in this movie. It's like, his range of acting was like...
I heard someone else say that, and they said that, and they said, Trevante Rhodes, when you see him in other movies, he's a really good actor.
In other movie, yeah.
But in this movie, he's kind of just... doing whatever.
I liked the only other thing I've seen him in is Moonlight.
Yeah. He's been in he was in Bird Box. I don't know if you've seen Bird Box.
Yeah, yeah. See, I didn't see Bird Box.
Oh, okay. He was in that, and he was also in Predators.
Okay.
But yeah. He had a small part in Moonlight. He's only at the...
Yeah, he had a small part, but it was pretty emotional. His part I felt like was pretty emotional.
Yeah.
By the time you see him in the movie.
Right,
you
know right. I mean? So he is a good actor. Just, you know, he just phoned it in for this movie.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it so much. I said sequel level, but replay mostly.
I mean, he phoned it in like talking cat.
I think I explained to the listeners what talking cat is. We've never talked about it.
We never talked about talking
cat. No, we have never talked about a talking cat on here.
Yeah, Talking Cat is this movie where it's a really bad movie where there's this cat on screen and there's a voiceover talking for the cat.
Yeah, I forgot that.
Who's doing the voice?
Julia Roberts' brother.
It's not Dennis Leary.
Julia Roberts' brother. I forgot his name.
Yeah. And he sounds like he's just fucking thrilled to be there. And he sounds like he way on the other side of the room, so his voice sounds like... And that's how his voice sounds. So yeah, that's how the acting was on
Eric Roberts. Here. That was the guy's name.
Yeah, Eric Roberts. Yeah.
And he was phoning it in because he was the only celebrity in that movie. Because all those other people, I'd never seen them before. So you can tell that they threw him a couple of dollars. Like, hey man, can you be in this movie? He's like, I ain't gonna show my face. Do I have to show my face?
Yeah.
Just read the script. And he's not putting any emotion. He's like,
do I have to read with feelings? No. All right, cool. I'll do it. $600. Okay.
That sounds about right, too. It probably was $600. Oh, man. So tell the people where to follow you at.
Man, you can follow me at 730, spelled with the number 7, on all major streaming platforms, social media platforms. It's all the same thing. YouTube, everything. 730, spelled with the number 7.
And you can find me as Prop Josh on just about everything as well. For Instagram, it's PropJosh_Productions.
Because he be producing.
So any final thoughts?
It's just me and a couple of y'all trying to be like me. Good night. This is Tyler Perry. Good night.
Thank everybody for listening. You can email us at wwwtbttpodcast@gmail.com. That's wwwtbttpodcast@gmail.com. For questions, movie suggestions, corrections, personal reflections, beat selections, no, like seriously, if you got beats and you want to hear them played during a segment in the show, just send them over. We'll take a listen. We're going to keep doing this. We're going to upload every Thursday, and hey, maybe we'll hit you up with a couple of surprises. Who knows? Who cares? Hopefully you do. Either way, you know where we be at. Peace.